I did not struggle at all with motherhood. That is the last thing you heard Tracy Otsuka say in part one of this episode. Wait, what? The same woman who constantly gets lost, is always late, and was so very different than most of the had-it-together moms in her community when her kids were growing up. Why the hell did she not struggle with motherhood? And what is her secret? You're about to find out on part two of Tracy Otsuka Teaches Women How to Own Their ADHD. Welcome to the Mother Plus Podcast, the show for too much moms who feel like they are failing at motherhood. We're your hosts, Stace and Steph, two moms with ADHD who cannot get enough of understanding our ADHD brains. We believe it's the key to enjoying our motherhood, and today we're about to prove that point. Tracy Otsuka gives us the most beautiful reality check about what it really means to be a good mom. We answer the question, what happens to women with ADHD when they feel they cannot be who they truly are? And then she gives us the most important perspective shift on our fixation on making everybody else happy. They wouldn't call it people-pleasing if, well, I'll let her tell you. At the risk of sounding dramatic, this might be the most important conversation we have ever had on this show. What Tracy says hits me so hard in the gut that I cry in the first 5 minutes. Are you ready? Let's do this.
I'm going to be honest. I did not struggle at all with motherhood. It was my most favorite time of life, and I'm certain that it will always be my most favorite time of life. So I'm kind of like, I get a little depressed when I think about, you know, that's over because my kids are grown now. Now, why? I have a husband who basically acted as my executive function. So we split tasks by what it is that I was good at versus what he was good at. And he is amazing at all of the, like he did all the administrative paperwork. I never looked at it because they knew if they gave it to me, I mean, I'm like the kid, you know, I'd lose it or like, I just couldn't, it's so hard for me to sit down and fill out all that kind of boring paperwork, the forms, get it back on time. No. So he did all of that. So we actually, you know, we both worked out of our house. So we did all the childcare, the drop off and the pickup, not all of it, but most of it. When the kids got older and my daughter then went to a high school that was an hour away, he handled that. And then I took my son a half an hour away to his elementary school. And I was able to do that, but it was because he was so good about, and I didn't know I had ADHD then. And he just kind of like, he never harassed me about it. He never made me feel bad about it, but it was understood that I had no sense of time. And so he was also the one who started meals. I did lunches, but he always started dinner because I would be working and I wouldn't even know what time it was. So he would come over and he'd say, okay, I'm going to start dinner at 6 o'clock because otherwise we'd eat at 9. So it wasn't that there was anything special about me. I mean, I loved being a parent. There was just, you know, and some of us are just, we're just more maternal than others, right? And I had a really amazing mother who was really maternal. So she taught me, you know, what it felt like to have a mother who was really engaged and wanted to be doing the mothering thing. Part of that, honestly, I think it was learned. Maybe it was a little bit genetic. But then the other flip side to it is I had all this support. So when I think about moms, like I think about the single mom, right? Who never had a mom who kind of taught her how to be a mom. And then she has to deal with all of this administrative stuff, all of this executive function. Like I can so understand what a nightmare that would be. So when I talk about my situation, I want women to know I had so much support.
Right. And I love that you approach it that way because there are people who just say, oh my gosh, I love motherhood so much. I don't know what's wrong with you that you're struggling. What you're saying is I have all this awareness. And I think the thing that was so challenging for me and Stacey is that we are both, Look, I'm a double cancer man. I am the most nurturing person on the planet. I
Yeah.
love my daughters. They're 12 and 17. We are soul connected, snuggle, talk about everything. I love mothering them. I love the connection. It's all the other stuff you talked about. And this is where I feel like there's a cultural and feminism angle. Your husband did not know that you had a diagnosis.
No.
However, he knew you, and he didn't think, why is my wife not able to do this? So you thrived using your skill set, and he picked up the slack using his skill set. Most of us, almost all of us, and I had the most incredible mother in the world, and it almost makes it worse because she showed me how to be a great mom. And a lot of the things she did, I can't do. And so I believe that most moms with ADHD, unless they are like you, who have this beautiful situation where their partner gives and they take and we give, and we just feel awful about ourselves because we, most of us, are the managers of invisible labor. We are the parenting project managers, and we are forgetting pajama day, the permission slip when the band concert is, oh my God, it's dinner time again. We want to be lost in our beautiful thoughts, creating and working. And when, oh my God, it's I just missed pickup time. Those are the things that make us feel like a bad mother and make us feel ashamed, because I don't think the norm is to have a partner who says, I see you, I got you. This doesn't make you a bad person. This is just who you are. Fortunately, I'm great at this.
That should be the norm.
It should be the norm, women who are listening. This is where we need some kind of revolution.
And I think this is the difference. So when I hear you talk about what it means to be a mother, it is not about all that administrative crap. In fact, I can think of a lot of parents that I know that are brilliant at that. And sorry, they suck as parent, right? The mom who literally can sit on the ground and play with her kid at the drop of a hat, or console her child who's struggling and having a breakdown, right? At the drop of a hat, instead of focusing on all the stuff, the cleaning, that's not being a good parent, right? Being a good parent is really connecting on that emotional level. And I actually think that is where most of us are really brilliant.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God, that is so well said. Everybody rewind and listen to that again, because that is everything, like everything. Because I am so good at connecting with my daughters. Mm-hmm. Every night I sit with my six-year-old and I ask her, what's on your mind? And we talk for 30 minutes about all of her troubles, and we hug and we snuggle and she touches my nose and it's perfect. But all the other shit is just terrible, and it makes me feel like I'm not doing it right.
But it's all shit.
For saying that.
I mean, you've named it properly. It is all shit. It doesn't matter. And that is not what your child will remember. I promise you, having kids on the other side.
Right.
And so I think what I learned how to do, because I did the same things, you know, where I would like forget my kids at school and just the school. Thank God I had my husband though, right? Because they knew, that administration knew that my husband was locked in. And so if I screwed up, it was like, oops. And I would just laugh about it. But I can imagine if you are the sole parent who's doing all this pickup and drop off and interfacing with the school, and then they're treating you poorly, right? You know, you can get this kind of where women can afford to have all of this help in the home. And so everybody else is managing stuff for them. I can think of a parent like that. And then they just sort of run in for the fun stuff, but the day-to-day, not so much. And they're judging all the other parents who, especially the single moms, who are struggling to make sure that, you know, everything gets turned in on time, that the kids are there on time, that they're, you know, if they're, well, I'm just thinking of my school. So it was a private Catholic school. So they were so focused on that kind of crap instead of, no, who is really connected to her kid? Not who is making your job as an administrator or a teacher or whatever easier,
yes.
Right?
I think what we need to really do is reframe. And this is something we need to do for ourselves, is have a deep belief that being a good mother means I am an emotionally safe place for my daughters. We have inside jokes. They feel comfortable. They snuggle with me. And if they are sad, they sleep in my bed and I'm here. And I know that's what being a good mom is, not doing crazy hair day and having the best diet panorama. Like, this is what it means to be a good mom. We need to change the messaging on that. We really do.
The other thing is, again, it's always on the women. If it's a father, they're expected to forget things and show up late. And, you know, it's just, it's all sexism and gender roles, and it's crap. It's all societal constructs, right? Just because we are women does not mean we're better at this. And I actually think that we are better parents if we're focusing on the kid than the stuff that we think we're supposed to do, because that's what society tells us.
Right. We had a therapist on who was talking about household chores and the things that fall on women. And it's like, is this because I possess some innate skill at cleaning toilets? Like, what? We are not better qualified for these tasks because of some skill we possess. So no, we have a lot of narrative rewriting, but I really feel validated by what you said about switching between I'm in my brain mode and now I'm in this physical reality of picking up kids or finding the track shoes and all of that.
Real quick. So we have had a couple of reels that have gone viral lately. And the first one was me starting with a quote from your book saying, I think it was either in your book or in your podcast, that women often go off the rails in motherhood. And me kind of telling my story of before motherhood, I was fun and like kind of, I was spacey, but everybody got me and it was okay. And it was acceptable. I get lost all the time, but I was creative and like, I was, you know, very Phoebe. And then after motherhood, I couldn't be that anymore. I didn't know how to be that anymore because it wasn't acceptable. And in the response, in the comments from that reel, there was either this like, oh my God, that's me. I totally feel the same way. Or there were the people who were like, actually, it was the opposite for me because motherhood gave me that structure. And it feels like that's what happened for you. It gave you that very intentional purpose of like making your children's childhoods the best, most fun possible.
Well,
you know,
my purpose, I discovered, was to show people who they are and inspire them to be it. And so what better human could you do that for but your kids, right? So my point is, this is what happens to ADHD women all the time. They start to feel like they cannot be who they really are. And, you know, sometimes that's in childhood, sometimes that's in college, sometimes that's when they get married, whatever, right? Or they have a partner. The goal is always to be more of who you really are. And the thing is, when you are being, you know, that cute, creative, little bit spacey Stacy, that is being a better parent to your kids than being so stressed out because you're trying to be this elusive whatever that you never could be anyway. So what I'm always saying is you need to learn how to be more of who you really are, not less, you know, in parenthood.
I love that. I think that that is just so perfectly said. And again, I feel like there's the accepting the superpowers that you have as an ADHD mom. I feel like there's learning how to work with the things that are challenging for you. And then also just accepting that some things are maybe just never going to be your strong suit, you know, and that's
and
okay.
When you think about it, Stacy, do you really want to be like that?
Like, no, I look back. I'm a very nostalgic person. This is another thing Stephanie and I have realized in our ADHD diagnosis. We are so nostalgic for our teen and 20s because that was a time where we didn't have a box around us, what we thought of as a good mother, right? As soon as we became mothers, we had to be this way. And that didn't work for me. In my 20s, I was so fun, but a 20-year-old is allowed to be fun and crazy and weird. You know what
I mean?
And
you were also happy.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think happy mothers have happy kids?
One of the reasons we were happy is because we were just being ourselves.
Yeah.
We weren't telling ourselves things like, you should be doing this. You're not as good at this as Janet is. We were just in our power and in our creative superpowers. And we weren't sending ourselves messages about being ashamed or being less than. And so we were happy because we loved ourselves then. And so I think part of our mission is, how do we love ourselves now? And a huge part of that has been understanding, applying this lens of, well, this is why this stuff wasn't working for you. You were looking through the wrong filter.
Yeah.
You know, you were trying to be a person that you aren't. And when you get to be the person that you are going to be happier and you are going to be a better mother.
Yeah. And okay, I'm thinking of, I've just always been weird as a parent. Like, I don't really care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I remember my daughter, she got suspended with a bunch of other kids for throwing food. And her best friend's mom was appalled. And she blamed my daughter. And I'm just like laughing, thinking, who gives a crap that they got suspended for throwing food? I think that's funny. At least there's some kids in this Catholic school who had some spirit, you know?
Right.
Like, I just don't care about, and maybe that really is the difference. I've always been like that. I don't care that I have different ideas or that I'm, you know, don't do what the norm does.
Well, and that's why I think maybe women like us need women like you. And I think we are becoming more and more like that. The older I've gotten and the more I know and love myself, the more I have truly become comfortable saying, I don't care. That's not the way I do things. But that was undoing decades of programming and generations of Midwest Scandinavian Lutheran good girl upbringing.
Yeah.
Like, That's a tough nut to uncrack, you know? So I think we have that. We want to be those moms who say, that doesn't bother me. And I'm getting there. But we need pioneers like you who just came into this world like that with this. This is who I am. I might not be your cup of tea. That's fine. We need those role models for ourselves, especially the ones of us who spent so many years masking and compensating and feeling like we weren't good enough, you know? So keep talking, keep writing. Your message is so important for women, for mothers. It's just, you are doing such amazing things for this community.
You know, thank you. Ultimately, my only goal with parenting was, when my kids are grown up, I want them to be proud of me. And I don't care that anybody else is proud of me. Well, I cared that my parents were. But, you know, when people say, oh, I'm so proud of you, you blah, blah, I'm like, who are you to be proud of me, right? Mm. I need to be proud of me. The only people that that's different for is, I want my kids to feel like they don't just need to show up because I'm their mom. That they want to be, that they're my people, you know, my best friends.
Yes.
That really was my goal in everything that I did. And that they would think that I was fun. And I mean, my kids tell stories of like, oh my God, mom, I cannot believe that time. And you said this thing and blah, blah, blah. But like, we laugh about it, right?
Yep. Yes.
At the time, I didn't know how mortified they were because I can be very outspoken.
Same. Same. I'm very well aware of some of the times when my kids have been like, you got to stop doing that. When my oldest was 15, she was like, mommy, you have main character energy. And because then you were the main character of this program. You were the star of your own. I was like, God damn right I am. And you should be too.
Yeah.
Everyone should be their own main character in their stories. But for kids, that can be a little bit like, it's a little awkward. But I believe that those are they get a little further down the road and they're like, you know what? I'm glad my mom was a main character.
Well, because
my
mom
was cheering me on. Yeah.
And she was being herself. And I think certainly when we're talking about, you know, gender, you know, that same sex parent is the most important parent as far as we are modeling behavior for our daughters.
Yes.
And so if we don't want our daughters to struggle the way we did,
yes,
we've got to do something different. And that means we have to show them what it looks like to be ourselves.
Yes. If you take nothing away, listeners, from that little soundbite right there, that's what it's all about. And I think that you might have your work cut out for you more when you are a woman with ADHD who has been undiagnosed for so long.
Yeah.
It takes a little longer to get to that place of, here I am. I love myself. I'm happy with myself. But that is the gift that we give to our daughters, that I give to mine and you give to yours. And I think that I'm going to remember that message the next time I'm beating myself up for not reminding my daughter to brush her teeth before school. I'm going to remember the stuff that counts, the stuff that she's going to look back on. Because ultimately, that's what I want for my kids. What does it really mean to be a good mother? And at the end of the day, it's, are your kids proud of you? Do they want to come to you and spend time with you?
When I thought I would have three boys. When I found out I was pregnant with a girl, I found this book, and I can't remember who the author is, but the book was called Reviving Ophelia.
Yes, it's Mary Pfeiffer.
Yes. I read that book. I did not disconnect from my parents when I was a teenager. I was not a brat. And what I knew is I was not going to have a child who was going to behave like that in my house.
Yes.
This is cultural. And so what I loved about that book is they went all over the world and they showed how cultural it really is. We do not need to be rude and disrespectful. You know, we don't, and it's what we allow, I think, but also if that's what you expect, that's what you are going to get. So I, from the get-go, said, this is not going to happen. Do you know my daughter and I had one argument when she was 16 years old and it was a blow up, you know, we were yelled. And I then came back to her and I said, I need you to understand. It was about driving. And she went to a high school that was an hour away from our home. And I was used to, you know, our home was the party home. Our home was where everybody went. And I told her, it's not that I don't trust you. It's that I am so anxious that something might happen to you. And she looked at me and she said, Mom, I had no idea. We never had, I mean, sure, you know, we might have a little, but never had another, you know, big argument about anything ever. So I really believe what it is, though, is I have to be respectful of her and her opinions and have to listen. And she then will do the same for me. I can't just be demanding and lay down all these laws and then be rude and not listen to her and not think about how she might feel about things. But I can promise you it does not have to be that way.
No, it hasn't been that way for me. My 12 and 17 year old girls and I, we love spending time together. Yeah. We snuggle, we laugh, we go places. Mm-hmm. I've always been on that like sort of eggshells of, is this when everything's about to go to shit? But it's a choice and it's what your priorities are. And mine have been connection. And that's the part where it pays off, is when you stay connected to your children emotionally, it pays off in that terrible stage of life.
Right.
I remember the part in your book where you talked about you and your husband prioritizing your kids going out to dinner while they were at college in New York, I believe, and like the things that you choose to prioritize in your home. And obviously connection was for you. But one thing that comes to mind when you say that is, yes, connection and listening, but also boundaries and confidence, which also what we were just talking about. And as ADHD goes and possibly RSD, I feel like I'm such a people pleaser that I'm constantly trying to people please my daughters who are 4 and 6, and that's not working so well. And so I also feel like there's just the confidence and setting boundaries and not letting these children terrorize your anxiety and your feelings. And how do you feel like that people pleasing relates to motherhood and how it is sometimes a struggle with little kids who you can't do that to. You have to be the adult in the room. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because kids get anxious.
Yeah.
When they don't have structure and when there is no adult, you know, because then they're the ones that have to make the decision. So I think they are happier when there is structure. And I know for us, structure can be difficult, right? We just want the spontaneity. We want the freedom. We're always like after the freedom. But really, the structure is what gives us more freedom. And I mean, ADHD women, we're notorious for being people pleasers. And I will say when it comes to my like family of origin, I probably am too much of a people pleaser. You know, I'm the oldest daughter and I'm the one who comes in and takes over and does all the hard stuff. And then nobody says thank you. And then I get upset and let's say, why am I doing this? And, you know, but really, it does get to a point where I'm just like, nope, I'm not doing that anymore. And I think the way we can tell, the easiest way we can tell whether or not we should do more of something or less of something is positive and negative emotion. We all have this rudder inside of ourselves. And when we are doing that which serves ourselves, but also serves our family, we're going to feel positive emotion. We're going to feel good about it. Versus when we don't feel good about something, when we feel negative emotion, that is literally that rudder. That is our body telling us, no, this is not the right direction. So I think in those instances, we have to question, okay, am I people pleasing here? how do I feel about doing it, you know, this way or, you know, whatever, you know, to satisfy that people pleasing? And what could I do instead? Because people pleasing, it's just, it's guilt. It's basically living someone else's life instead of your own, right? And that always sucks because you wouldn't call it people pleasing if you really wanted to do it and you knew it served you.
Wow.
Wow.
Never thought of it like that.
That is it.
So you just need to connect to how you, it is all about how you feel. Your body will tell you if you are doing that which is right for you and your family versus you're doing things because you think like other people are going to judge you if you don't do them. Yeah. We, you know, we're so creative and most of us are highly empathetic. So clearly we want the best for our kids, you know? Yeah. And because of that, I think we're also more in tune to emotion and being able to have those conversations with kids that lots of families, they're not doing anymore.
We just want to give you the stage to say any last words to all the ADHD moms listening, any last messages you want to give to them.
I think I want to talk about gratitude because when we're in the default mode network, there can be a lot of negativity. It's those voices that tell us all the things we're not good at, why we won't succeed, why we'll fail. When you're in the like the bad default mode network, and really the only way around that is, you know, whatever we think about just grows. So if our thoughts are all about everything we can't do, guess what's going to grow? More thoughts about all the things we can't do and beating ourselves up, right? It's really important to be kind to ourselves. And I think the easiest way to be kind to ourselves is when we are in that negative emotion and we're, you know, what do they call it? The itty bitty shitty committee that's, you know, just, you know, haranguing us. The way to flip it is to focus on what you're grateful for. And a lot of ADHD women might say, well, I can't think of anything I'm grateful for. Well, then focus on outward things, external things, right? Start there. Oh, I'm grateful for this beautiful day. I'm grateful for my bed. I'm grateful for my pillow. I'm grateful for that bluebird that just flew up and, you know, tapped on the window. There is always something that you can be grateful for. And I'm telling you, even with when you start with those little things to be grateful for, you're going to start seeing more things to be grateful for because what we focus on grows. And that is the way to, I think, start turning around all those negative thoughts is training your brain to be in gratitude, being grateful for what you have, being grateful for who is in your life rather than focusing on who should be or who isn't or, you know, all of those things. So I think that that is the easiest place to start for me is gratitude. You know, it's hard to jump from, oh, I don't know, despair to joy. But the goal is that you're always ratcheting up the positive thoughts, even by just one. And if you're constantly focused there on trying to find a better feeling, it's all about that rudder, right? The way to find a better feeling is through gratitude, is finding things to be grateful for. And then you're going to discover that, oh, I actually feel better. And you can grow from there because neuroplasticity, we can train our brains to naturally look for the good things rather than just automatically going for everything that's not working.
And it's also such an important thing that we can teach our children.
Yes.
Speaking of being good mothers, like this is a beautiful lesson to pass on to our kids because it's a way for them to start practicing earlier in life that gratitude that is going to play a big role in their lives as adults, whatever, come what may. So,
and if they have ADHD, I mean, I believe that ADHD ultimately, it's nervous system dysregulation, right?
Yes. Yep. Yes. So, It is.
We are teaching our kids how to regulate their own nervous system. And unfortunately, they're not getting any of that anymore, getting very little of it.
No, I feel almost that the entire nervous system regulation practice is on me as their mother. And I feel grateful for the fact that I have tools and knowledge that I can help teach them with that as I've learned it for myself. So, yeah. This is some powerful stuff today. I'm just so grateful for the myriad directions this conversation turned, and I can't wait to listen and just mine it for gold, because you have so many important messages, but so much of it boils down to learn yourself, love yourself, accept yourself, because when you have the freedom and the permission to be who you are going to be better and happier, whether you're talking about your career or your relationships or your motherhood. And moms with ADHD are fantastic moms. And
really,
and we deserve to thrive. We truly can't thank you enough for your time. You have made such a difference in our lives, and we know we're not alone in saying that. So thank you so much, Tracy.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Well, we will be directing in our show notes listeners to your book, to your website, so that they can follow you and listen and learn from you. Thank you for everything you do for women.
Are you nodding your head to every ADHD episode we've had over the past month? Are you feeling seen and heard and not so alone for the first time in your motherhood? We've had hundreds of women telling us, "I am so happy I finally found my people. Can we start a club?" And the answer is yes, we can start a club. Steph and I are starting the ADHD Moms Club to give us all a place to hang out virtually. Think laundry folding parties, get work done body doubling sessions, sharing ADHD hacks and resources, and hot mess mom war stories. And it'll be completely free. The waitlist is open now. Just visit www.motherplusser.com/ADHD-mom-club-waitlist. And we will put that in the show notes too. Share it with all of your ADHD mom friends. The more, the merrier. We cannot wait to see you there.